Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And a reminder that the Bobby Dooley podcast is up and alive and is rocking, well, the entire podcast universe. It's called the Bobby Dooley Podcast. Check it out at SoundCloud, iTunes, and elsewhere. And you can also access the Bobby Dooley Podcast through our podcast banner on the homepage of philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, and for your $9.95 a month, you've got almost 5,000 hours of audio. You have over 10 years of archived radio shows. You have a video cast, the archives of the video cast, and other special feature that we're going to be doing later on as we progress. We've got a whole year full of crazy stuff planned for you. The Milwaukee Lions and their regular football season will be upon us. We also have a Milwaukee Lion highlight reel that's going to be produced. And who knows? Who knows what will be available when it comes to the Milwaukee Lions and the Bobby Dooley podcast? Who knows what will be available on the terrestrial side of things? That's right.
Oh, so she's going to get a radio show.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, you're in it. You're whatever that word would you use?
Intimate?
Yeah.
Don't be yelling across the room.
Man, I keep telling him use a microphone.
I mean, you're intimating it.
That's right. Good use of the word, bud. But I'm not saying for sure. All right. Anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Pick up a backstage pass, though, and take advantage of all of the marvelous stuff that's going on. You're asking me, what was that song?
Yes, that's a very cute song, Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. I don't know if I like that.
Kendrick Lamar with the song. It's a rap. It's a new song by Kendrick Lamar called Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. And I like it because...
Pretty much how it is.
Pretty much how it is. No, it's funny, especially the part about... Anyway,
it's a hip-hop song, folks. We don't want to, you know... I know this is talk radio.
Don't put the audience... Never mind, folks. Woman shocked in shower by stray voltage wins $4 million lawsuit. Are you at risk, too? Woo!
Look at that shirt. It's burned.
Her shirt ain't burned, you jackass. That's the design of the blouse that she's wearing. You can't really see her in that shot as we were putting it up to the camera, the Phil TV camera. A California woman who sustained repeated electrical shocks while showering won a $4 million lawsuit against her power company on Wednesday. Woo! The ruling against Southern California Edison.
Well, that is a big lawsuit.
Yes. And we've all heard of Con Ed, which is Consolidated Edison.
But that's Connecticut, but...
I used to think it was Connecticut Edison. It's Consolidated Edison. But Southern California Edison is a biggie. And they've been around a long time, and this was a suit and a ruling against them. It was a long-awaited end to the saga of Simona Wilson, a single mother of three boys who suffered from major medical problems as a result of stray voltage from a nearby substation, according to reporting in the Easy Reader News of Hermosa Beach, California.
We probably should get Chris Norton on.
Well, Chris is not Hermosa Beach.
Well, it's close. He's in Redondo Beach, I think.
All right, bud, if you want to get Chris Norton on the line...
Yeah, get him, call him up.
What?
What did you say?
I said I'm going to call up.
Sounds like you've been shocked taking a shower. Just call him up, man.
All right.
Chris Norton is, he's not a reporter, and as a matter of fact, he's not really a broadcaster. He is the producer of adult films. He does porn, and this is where this is the levels that we're sinking to.
Phil, I'm just saying he's in the area.
Chris Norton from Hermosa Beach, California. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing really good, Mr. Wright. How are you doing?
Good. I wanted to ask you about a story that we are seeing here in the news. This is a woman who won a suit against Southern California Edison, and it is to the tune of $4 million. And she won this suit because she was being shocked in her shower by some stray voltage from a substation. You know about this story?
Well, if you're talking about a woman being shocked in her shower by a stray voltage, a lot of that comes to me as an idea for adult film.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
I was just making a joke.
He's talking about an adult film.
I'm sorry, Mr. I was just talking about, I'd probably make an adult film that would be based on having First of all, I apologize.
I know. I'm asking a real story. I'm not asking about adult films.
I understand that, but I'm just saying my mind a lot of times is thinking in terms of this and how I might turn a normal situation into this. And
so, all right, so the lady's in the shower and she's getting shocked.
Yeah, I was going to say that you could turn that into some kind of accessible film. That's all I'm saying.
Well, do you know the story?
Yes, I do know the story. Her name is Simona Wilson, and what I read in a Redondo Beach paper, I don't get no Hermosa Beach paper, but I do get a Redondo Beach paper, that Southern California Edison, they said they're not in favor of the lawsuit. They got two more lawsuits from people in Redondo Beach. She was living in Redondo Beach when she got shot.
Oh, so this is in your neighborhood?
Well, it's certainly in my town.
Why does it say Hermosa Beach?
Well, that's where she lives now.
Oh, okay. So she split.
Right. She split, and she's over in Hermosa Beach. It's pretty weird what happened. It started in 2011, and apparently this woman started to feel sick to her stomach. She had nausea. She had Zosyn. Numbness in her limb, and she decided that she replaced the shower that had been kind of weird, and she replaced the shower with one that was built in the floor, and apparently the shower head was electrified, and every time she touched it to make an adjustment, there was a low level of current that run through her body. And that's called stray voltage, you know.
That's all that they, you didn't do it, Chuck.
What?
Well.
Hold on, bud. So was it shocking her in a noticeably, when we think of an electric shock.
No, it wasn't going, you know, wow, you know, and then she was like, you know, having some sort of sexual, I mean, speaking of sex, you know, it was almost, when you think of a shock, you think of a sexual, you know, a sexual shock, you know.
No, not an orgasm. We're talking about just if someone who is electrocuted in a way that is very obviously can cause unconsciousness.
No, it was not that kind. What it was she was touching the nozzle. And see, I have to tell you, Mr. Henry, everything I'm saying about it is lends itself to a script about sex, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, we're not talking about sex right now, man.
Okay, man, God.
Take it easy, Robert.
Well, somebody's talking about a movie. We're talking about a lady got electrocuted.
What?
We're talking about a lady got electrocuted, man.
All right, man. I mean, I was just saying, you know, you gotta understand what I do, okay?
Yeah, all you do, man, is you work as a pharmaceutical rep, and you ain't no porn maker, not yet.
You know something, man? I'm working on it, okay?
Yeah, you working? I'm working on something, too, you know? Until you start making money for it.
All right, hold on for a minute.
God, man, I didn't know I was going to come on your program and get attacked. All I'm talking about is if you wanted to make a film for an adult film, if you want to make adult film, you're going to have to put sex in it. And this lends itself to a sexual situation, is all I'm saying.
Okay, fine. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I'm talking about this woman that got electrocuted. She was living in your town, Redondo Beach. Now, let me get this right. She began to feel nausea after replacing a shower nozzle?
Yeah, she had she replaced a elevated shower nozzle with one that was built right in the floor. And the shower head was electrified. So every time she touched it to make an adjustment, she got what they call stray voltage. In many ways, if you want to put it into porn, you know, I know you don't want to put it in porn terms, but I feel it would help to put it in a porn term. And put it in a porn term, it was she was getting, upset, assess, you know.
Never mind, okay? She was getting a low-level electrocution is what she was getting.
Yeah, but that doesn't tell the story.
We understand, Chris. She was being electrocuted, but not in such a way that it was being noticeable.
Yeah, but it was like low-level sex.
No, it wasn't low-level sex. It was an electrocution that caused this woman very serious health issues.
I, I understand that, Mr. Henry. I'm just saying, okay, forget it.
Yeah, okay. So what next?
Then, apparently the electrical current flows on paths that it's not intended for it to flow on, okay? And so, you know, they're worried now about electrical shocks if you're shaving or electrical shocks. But it's rare. But she did get, you know, shocked and everything. She apparently suffered, you know, health problems and like that. But, I mean, I was interested in it.
All right, so basically the lady was getting this low-level electrical shock that caused this physical problem, and it was because of this stray voltage coming from the substation. The thing wasn't wired wrong?
What?
The shower nozzle.
I don't think so. I think it was just electricity was just kind of going, you know, just flowing into it or something.
Why?
I don't know. Just was.
All right, I'll get a hold of the story. Chris, thank you very much.
I mean, you know, if I'm going to be on your show, at least I can be allowed to promote my latest film project.
Well, all right, well, what is it?
Well, I just thought of it now, you know, Seth, you know, the shower Seth.
You work on that and come back on.
Well, I mean...
All right, so...
You want it on?
No, I chalked that one up. That was my mistake. I said, get Chris Norton on the line. He's a...
The man is a raving lunatic, an imbecile, and has a speech impediment. I don't know why you put him on the air.
Because he's in that area. All right. So this woman, Wilson, she seems not to be alone in her electrified shower plight. In September, a New York couple filed a lawsuit against a local utility because they claimed their multimillion-dollar home, which is next to a substation, was filled with this kind of random stray electricity. There are times I would go to the sink and there's a little water on the rim and I might put my arm in it and boom, I'd feel a shock, said Millie Mendelson to the New York Post. So they're trying to say that you may be in danger. Well, I wouldn't worry about it, folks, unless it happens to you. Let's put it that way. And I've never personally had any random electricity that I didn't want. All right, we'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show in this final hour of our program. What do you got over there, bud?
There's a story here about a millionaire is living in a closet.
A millionaire living in a closet, huh?
Yeah, wow, 420 square feet.
All right, well, we'll find out about that when we come back. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth millionaire in a closet. He's our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here. I just saw this story. I don't know. Did you know that Ahmadinejad was almost shot by the Secret Service by accident?
Well, I don't know that anyone cares.
Yeah, but we could get in an international situation.
Well, think about this, man. The Secret Service, this is why people always fascinate me. On the one hand, you have people saying, well, the Secret Service would never tip their hand like they shot him. Let's say Ahmadinejad was shot and killed in America. And the conspiracy theorists would begin their usual prattle. Now, the first thing that they would say is there's some kind of hidden thing. So no one's going to say the Secret Service did it. You think the Secret Service are going to want people to know they shot Ahmadinejad? Of course not. No, he was shot, ostensibly by that shoe salesman who just happened to have a pistol and whose family had been tortured in Iran, but that's got nothing really to do with it. It was really, you know, they'll draw all of this. He was just used as a stooge. Now you have the story that the Secret Service didn't shoot him, but they almost shot him. And people are willing to believe that. People are willing to believe that he was almost shot by the Secret Service and that the Secret Service was gunning for him, and it was only their bumbling and fumbling that didn't pull it off, and maybe Ahmadinejad was smart enough to get out of the way of the bullet. The story is that he was nearly shot by a Secret Service shotgun while he visited the United Nations. As previously reported, Ahmadinejad in Iran had been in the news a lot lately, mostly due to trying to gain a nuclear weapon. Recently, Iran launched a destroyer into the Caspian Sea. He made the mistake of hugging Hugo Chavez's mother, angering many in Islamic Iran. This is after Ahmadinejad claimed that Hugo Chavez would return with Jesus to save the world. Oh, that's heavy. An upcoming book entitled Deep State Inside the Government Secrecy Industry claims that in 2006 there was a report in President George W. Bush's daily intelligence brief that said Ahmadinejad was nearly shot due to his proximity to a shotgun fire during the United Nations General Assembly. These are the paragraphs from the book by Mark Ambinder and D.B. Grady that claim that Ahmadinejad was nearly shot with a shotgun. A U.S. Secret Service agent in an apparent accident discharged his shotgun as Iranian President Ahmadinejad was loading his motorcade at the Intercontinental Hotel. According to the writer, I closed my eyes, quote, end quote. Everyone just stopped. The Iranians looked at us, and we looked at the Iranians. Oh, this is the agent. The agent began to apologize. Ahmadinejad just turned his head and got into his car.
Well, maybe they were trying to kill him.
See, here's the thing that I'm saying. No, I don't think they were, because if they were trying to kill him, it would be against all the concepts and all of the constructed theories and the bullcrap that most of the conspiracy people would tell you. Why, they would never let anybody know that it was them. So, because they weren't successful, people want to say the Secret Service was purposefully trying to kill him. If they were successful, they killed him. People would then say that the Secret Service indeed tried to kill him. And all of the ways that conspiracy theorists usually think would go right out the window. Because usually they say there's somebody way, way... There's a deep background on this one. Isn't that what they say?
Oh, God, yes.
So they would say, no. There's something else going on. Were it just a regular citizen, for instance. So in other words, things in the world of the conspiracy theorists just shift around. I mean, you know, if the Secret Service actually killed Ahmadinejad with a shotgun blast and they said it was an accident, no, it wasn't. You guys meant to do it on the orders of the President of the United States and the CIA. Well, wait a minute. Why would the Secret Service very obviously and in just full view of everybody kill this guy? And, we want everyone to think we did it.
Well, it was an accident.
Yeah, well, it was an accident. But nobody's going to believe that. They're going to think they wanted to do it on purpose. But why would those guys come right out and do it on purpose? Why wouldn't they hide like everybody tells us they do?
Oh, you're saying that... Oh.
Never mind. Why did I even open my big fat mouth?
Bingo, there you go.
In other stories, the one that we were talking about here, after selling his tech startup for millions of dollars in the 1990s, a man by the name of Graham Hill lived in a mansion in Seattle stocked with expensive furniture, the latest gadgets, and flashy cars in the driveway. Hill still has the money, but now he lives in a sparsely furnished 420-square-foot apartment in New York City, and he couldn't be happier. An advocate of the minimalist lifestyle, Hill showed today's Craig Melvin, which is a newspaper, how less could be more with a tour of his apartment, which features a fold-down bed, a table that extends to seat 12 guests for dinner, and an office space that recedes into the wall. He said, quote, people understand that we have supersized, that it's not really working for us, and maybe there's a better solution, in a segment on the Today Show. Actually, the TV show, I don't know.
The Today Show's on television.
Yeah, I thought it was... I think life is about experiences and about connections and about relationships, and I think you want to maximize your time focused on that and minimize your time focused on acquiring more stuff and dealing with it. His current lifestyle, which he described earlier this month in an op-ed for the New York Times, as well as TED Talk, which is that, I don't know, TED is that new, like, what is that, like Twitter for rich guys or something? Anyway, he's received nearly 2 million views online, and it's a far cry from his MTV Cribs existence in the 1990s. While jet-setting around the world, he realized the things he owned were starting to own him. That process of acquiring lots of stuff relatively quickly and feeling sort of wasteful and not very conscious about the whole thing and realizing at the end of the day it didn't really make me any happier than my smaller, simpler life. Well.
What?
Something tells me that, look, if you've got a 420-square-foot place, but, oh, yeah, it happens to recede into the wall, and then...
Yeah, it's got all kinds of stuff a guy couldn't have. What are you talking about? That sounds bitching.
Maybe it is bitching. But you got to have some dough to build a place that's got something receding into the wall and something that's coming out of the wall and something that's, you know... And something tells me that whatever this guy drives probably isn't all that cheap.
Well, you're saying that it's an expensive 420 square feet.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm saying. An expensive 420 square feet. All right, we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and a live video cast each and every night. Check it out. Go on over to our website and enjoy, ladies and gentlemen. The Bobby Dooley Podcast with Jay Mohr, Part 2, drops tomorrow. Check it out on iTunes.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I see what I'm holding right there. Jay Leno losing his job despite beating his rivals in the ratings. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, we've got Stephen Bozell on the line. Steve Bozell from Corona, California, on the recent story that we are also reading about and mentioning. And it's in New York. There's legislation, Mr. Bozell, that you have discussed with us off air about gay therapy or a Christian gay therapy being banned in New York State. Chris Christie is not going to necessarily sign the... They don't know yet whether Chris Christie is going to sign this legislation or not because the jury's out on whether it works.
That's correct.
Now, why are you strongly in favor of this?
I'm in favor of it because I was in favor of it because I felt, well, if there's a way to cure the gay, you know, if there's a way to cure a gay person, then I think if it can be cured, then it must be a disease. I realize now that I'm caught between a rock and a hard place because if I back legislation, and this is in New Jersey, Mr. Henry, this is not here in California, but nonetheless, it was something that I was vocal about in the local press because I thought it might be helpful. I know that it's controversial to say that there's such a thing as, anti-gay training.
Well, it is. And there's a lot of people, myself included, that don't believe. But I don't, you know, I'm not an authority on these matters. What I do know is the psychiatrists, psychologists who tell us that homosexuality is not a disease and it's not an ailment. It's not a, it's a orientation. I know people, some people don't believe that. Some people think that it's somehow a choice or purely psychological, so therefore one can be cured. Now, let me ask you this. You got involved in this. Why?
Well, I got involved in it because of a series of lawsuits that I had commenced against the neighbor of mine, Roy Hutchins. I'm very confident in my sexuality. Don't get me wrong, but the lawsuits that I had filed against this neighbor of mine were the result of I guess you could say, mocking. He called me all, you know, these names for a variety of reasons.
Well, one of them had to do with and I'm just reading, this is a summary of the lawsuits. One was a zucchini.
Yes, sir, there was a zucchini. It was an oversized zucchini. And I don't really want to get into it. I can tell you though that.
But the result of all of these lawsuits was that you were feeling harassed by him.
Yes, sir. Another had to do with the. I don't know how I can talk about it.
Well, I've got the lawsuit summary. Your wife had a bachelorette party, and there were popsicles shaped like a man's phallus. Correct.
Yes, sir.
And you wound up by accident taking one of these out and sucking on one while you were mowing the lawn.
That is correct, yeah. And so the neighbor, this man, Mr. Hutchins, through a series of what I call harassments, called me a gay. And I, because of that, I found myself backing legislation that would establish these gay camps.
Now, if you're backing legislation that establishes gay camps, does that not say that you feel you're gay?
No, it does not. Well, at the time, I didn't feel that it did. I recognize now that Hutchins, who, again, I'm in a contentious legal battle with him over this kind of harassment. Hutchins feels that because I have lent my support and I've been vocal, that I am afflicted with it.
Well, you call it an affliction. I got to tell you something. It's a little offensive to people, okay?
No, I know that, but... I, you know, I wanted to come out and say that I don't believe in the gay camp. If that's what I got to do to get this guy Hutchins off my back, that's all.
Well, is this harassment on the part of Mr. Hutchins serious to the extent that you need to file lawsuits?
Sir, I would not file a lawsuit if I didn't think so.
Well, I mean, because I'm looking back on these. Now, one of them is, and they all have to do with this man mocking you or laughing at you or otherwise not doing much more than just...
Mr. Henry, hold on for a minute. Mocking me and laughing at me. Do you have children? Do you?
Well, I've raised kids, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever had a neighbor, you know, lean over the back fence and go, hey... You know, you're having a, you know, you're sucking on that, you know, a penis, you know, it was like a penisicle, and you know, and it did have, I mean, I can be graphic, it looked just like...
Okay, I know what you were talking about.
Yeah, and he's going, hey, you know, don't let the you-know-whats hit you on the chin, and all that.
Okay, so it's a neighbor making fun of you.
Look, I don't want to argue the merits of the case, sir.
All right, we don't have to, but what I'm saying is... what you call ongoing harassment isn't it, that you filed lawsuits over, isn't it just a guy giving you a hard time?
Well, okay. Let me ask you this, Mr. Henry. When the Ku Klux Klan attacks a black guy, are they just giving him a hard time?
Sir, hold on for a minute.
No, I think it's a fair analogy.
No, it is not a fair analogy. You're talking about you taking crap from a neighbor over a fence as opposed to violent acts, terrorist acts? No, it's not a fair analogy.
All right, but I mean...
See, what I'm asking you is this. Don't you feel like you've overreacted given the fact that you're suing this guy for harassment that led to you endorsing a very controversial and, in the minds of a great many people, including doctors and scientists, a completely false and useless a process called gay therapy, gay conversion therapy? You're backing it. Just because you want a guy not to think you're gay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And now you don't back it because you realize that he got the opposite message.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Okay, so this is not a lot of wasted energy.
I don't think it is. I know, and people have told me. They've said, don't you think you're wasting your time backing gay conversion therapy when Hutchins used that to prove, to make fun of you and to prove that you're gay? And
well, when you said that Hutchins used that to prove you're gay, what did he do?
Well, Mr. Henry, he engaged in the same process of harassment.
Yeah, but I mean, can you give me the specific things that he did? What form did this harassment take?
I mean, I can tell you, I couldn't go out to my backyard there to go back to the shed to get a tool without him hanging over the fence and asking me how, you know, how my gay classes were going. And I mean, is that what you're calling frivolous? Because I can tell you...
Well, what, sir, I got to tell you, I find it frivolous.
Well, okay, then you obviously never had a guy ask you how your gay, you know, how your gay class is going while your kids are listening.
Well, all right, if you're talking about gay things while the kids are listening, maybe he could be a little bit more, a little more tasteful.
Yeah, I mean.
But the kids are right there in the yard with you?
Well, no, but I mean, they're in the house, but you know how kids are. They got their ear up to every door, every closed bathroom door. I had my bathroom doors reinforced.
You had your bathroom door?
Like, I'm talking about kids, Mr. Henry. Surely there's someone there in the studio, Miss Dickman or Mr. Gray or Mr. and Mrs. Gray.
Excuse me, Stephen. It's Ms. Gray. We have Mr. Dickman here.
I'm sorry, but don't... You understand?
No, I do not. I do not.
But you see, you gotta have it reinforced.
You mean the bathroom?
Yeah.
Because you know as well as I do, kids always have their ears pressed against the door, any closed door. And I'll tell you right now, I don't want anybody with their ear up against the door while I'm in the bathroom.
Well, what are you afraid they're going to hear?
Sure, they're going to hear you fart.
Shut up, will you?
I don't want nobody. All I'm saying is that kids probably got their ears pressed against every locked door in America. Every time there's a door that's locked, a kid is on the other side of it. With an upside-down glass trying to find out what's going on.
You really think that, huh?
I know that. That's how I was. And that's how I think kids are.
So because of that, you feel your kids heard Mr. Hutchins ask you how your gay classes were going, and you were embarrassed in front of them.
Yes, sir. So I filed a lawsuit. The other time, with the zucchini, when he was showing the zucchini to my wife and my daughter.
What is with this zucchini?
It was a giant zucchini.
Okay.
And my wife had asked Mr. Hutchins, or asked Roy and his wife Ann, how was the garden going? Because he and his wife had started a vegetable garden.
Okay.
All right. I mean, what?
Okay, so what?
So he had this giant zucchini, and my wife asks about, you know, what's that? And he brought it over.
Well, it wasn't exactly instituted. In other words, he didn't say, hey, have you seen this zucchini?
Well, he's all, yeah, look at this, you know.
Did your wife ask to see it?
Yeah, but she asked to see it, but he didn't have to show it to her.
Well, sir, if the zucchini is on the ground there, which is zucchini is grown by a root, isn't it laying on the ground?
Okay, see, there you go.
There I go what?
You're saying use a word like root. See, this is what I mean, and this is what Hutchins done. He's this.
I got to tell you. All right, so I shouldn't judge. I'm just reporting on this.
Yeah, you should be more objective, sir.
Well, I don't understand. So the zucchini was oversized, and you thought that looked like a penis?
It could be taken as one.
It was a zucchini, though.
It was a... All I'm saying to you is he was using that as a gay harassment against me.
Was he talking to you?
It doesn't matter. If he's showing your wife a big John Holmes zucchini...
All right, so, all right, that's, what else?
What do you mean, what else?
What else happened? I mean, what else,
Well, like I said, there was just these comments that was made. So, I sued, and I got into a political support of gay conversion, and that's when he leaned over the fence that day and said, how are the gay classes coming? And that's when I said, okay, I better reverse my course. And I gave another interview with the Corona Times, which is our local paper, that I don't back gay conversion, and he leaned over the fence just this morning and said, I hear that you left school.
So,
I want to ask a question. Are you giving these series of interviews with your local town paper, and apparently they are more than willing to give you print time, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you giving these interviews based on the fact that the man is leaning over the fence and making comments?
That's what I was going to ask.
The guy's leaning over the fence and saying stuff to me about being gay.
And you're going off to the local paper and making these public proclamations. This is something only known by you and this guy Hutchins.
You don't get it. Hutchins, man. Hutchins. If I could tell you the power that this guy has.
Well, I want to know. I mean, I think we all do.
If he's got power, you should tell us what it is. We could do something about it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
It's just what?
He bothers me.
But does he have any real influence with anybody other than you?
I don't know, but this is my way of stopping it.
So for all we know, this guy is just giving you crap over the backyard fence, but you're going off to the newspaper and reporting all of this and defending yourself to the people of your city against a guy whose opinions they may not know anything about.
See, I don't understand what you just said.
Well,
never mind. Hold on. We'll be right back. Let's take a break. We've got Stephen Bozell with us. Oh, man.
That guy, yeah, you should just keep him off the air.
You know, so Mr. Bozell is involved in a series of lawsuits, all of this around the gay conversion therapy, which they want to outlaw, by the way, in New Jersey, which my hat's off to them. All power to the legislators there. Chris Christie, though, is holding things up because he's not so sure. He thinks maybe it'd do some good. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Is he gay?
No, he's not gay. He thinks...
The way you're looking at that.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show, and philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Get a backstage pass before they all run out.
What? They can't run out.
I'm just kidding. All right. What are you saying, Margaret?
You're looking at that Flipjack commercial.
There's a commercial here for the Flipjack pan. Boy, if you guys want to advertise with me, man, I will. I would love to have you guys advertise with the Flipjack pan. And they were anyway. They were showing pancakes and omelets.
Oh yeah, and you the drool.
Yeah, you needed a drool bucket.
I didn't need a drool bucket.
Well, it looked like you were going to start to drool. Seriously.
I got to tell you something. It's been so long since I've had that kind of food. I haven't had pancakes. I haven't had those cheese all that stuff that's so bloody good. I haven't had that in so long. And since October, since I hit my weight, and I even, you know, when we went with the Dooleys over there to Christine Blackburn's place to do her podcast tonight, Christine and I met 7 years ago or so. So she's known me through all these periods of fat. And she even said, "You look skinny, man." I said, "Well, I've been on a diet." She goes, "How much weight did you lose?" I said, 80, 90 pounds. What did I lose? I lost 80 pounds. And she said, I looked skinny. I said, "Well, I got to get down. You know, I'm looking to get down to 200.
You're still living that fantasy that you want to get. You want to look like you want to get to that Michael Stipe AIDS chic, don't you?
No, I do not. What a thing to say.
You want
to
look like you got AIDS, man.
Yeah.
No, I do not. Michael Stipe, AIDS chic. In any event.
Who's Michael Stipe?
He's in R.E.M. He was the lead singer in R.E.M.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah, neither do I.
Fine. In any event, don't keep asking who people are. Just. So, I was looking at this. I'm like, God, man. And Dan and I were talking. I said, well, look. You can eat anything you want. You can eat anything you want if you're willing to go out and exercise it off. You want to eat 5,000 calories a day? You can do that, but you got to go out and exercise that stuff off. Now, I actually looked up because I had one weekend here recently. I think I told you guys back when I was like binging on chocolate. I don't know what happened to me, but when I finally hit my target weight in October... then I would do, and the holiday season was upon us, so I was doing this chocolate binge thing. I mean, it was insane, man. It was Halloween weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, all through Christmas season. I couldn't get enough of those damn Reese's cups and all that, all the chocolate. Not cake, not cupcakes, none of that stuff.
Well, were you eating the little, did you have any Christmas treats at all? Didn't you have the wonderful fruitcake or whatever? What is it, bud?
No, the fruitcake that they have.
I wouldn't eat fruitcake if I was 800 pounds. I wouldn't eat fruitcake if I wasn't on a diet. Are you nuts?
So you didn't have any of the mission pack that I sent?
You didn't. Did you? Was that you?
Yes.
Margaret, mission pack.
Well, I had an extra one.
Oh, well, thank you. No, I didn't eat any of that. Chocolate, that was the only thing I wanted. So in any event, I looked up in my little exercise guide what it would take, because if I want to burn off some calories, I want to burn off a lot of calories. Do you know how many calories it takes to burn off 1 pound? Or I should say, how many calories it takes to gain a pound? And I think, conversely, how many calories you need to burn off to get rid of a pound, or to get rid of 3,000.
Well, say that again.
In other words, if I went out and I exercised... I would need to exercise over a period of time to get rid of 1 pound. I'd have to exercise off 3,000 calories. 3,000 calories. Now that is running 8 miles an hour for 3 hours. You can do 1,000 calories running 8 miles an hour for one solid hour. Pretty nuts, huh? So I think that's right, yeah. So I, for instance, would, the beach here is 1 mile. If I run the beach, I could run that beach back and forth. It would take me an hour to run that beach 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
To run the beach would take you 1 hour.
Yeah, because I can usually, I can walk, as I was saying to you guys earlier, I can walk 2 miles. You know, in a half hour, man. I generally, you can walk 15, a mile in 15 minutes. If I was running, and I've only run on the beach, I haven't actually run the neighborhood, you know, and where we live here is a small beach neighborhood, and it's pretty circular. So there is literally a track you can run on here that is about 2 miles long, and I run that two times. That's 4 miles. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, get doing all the math.
What I'm trying to say is this. You know, if you use, and a lot of people have asked me, I said, if you use any kind of a calorie exercise, any kind of a site that tells you this online, and you, there's a million of them, you can find out how many calories or how much time you need to take off so many calories if you go over that target, you know, that I was talking about. I was just talking to my son, Alex, who works for me, and he also is on that diet. Actually, he's just on a diet, and he also lifts weights. He was at 1,600 calories a day. And
1,600?
Yeah, and he said, I couldn't do it, man. He went back to 2,000. 1,600 calories a day. You're getting hungry. You're also getting weak. No good. And he's lifting weights? Forget it.
How much does he weigh?
800 pounds. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, he's looking great. Alex is solid. He's solid muscle. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow night, or tonight, actually, on the West Coast, tomorrow morning on the East Coast, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Remember your backstage pass for all of the things that you need and more. It is a backstage pass, and only a backstage pass, that can make your dreams come true at philhenryshow.com. Look for our episode 142 of our podcast tomorrow, Bobby Dooley, part two of the Jay Moore drops on Friday.
Phil Henry.